Thanks for reminding me last night, Scott, to start the recording. I appreciate it.
No problem. I forget a lot. So, okay. So let's get going. I basically for the agenda, actually, yeah, let me pull up the agenda, and share it with everybody. I apologize for the dog wrestling going on in the background. They don't seem to ever get tired. Okay. So I guess we should, guys, chill out. okay. We'll call it to order here at 7:02. And I guess, John and Neil, since you guys are still technically public, any public comment from either?
Not today.
Okay. Neil? So for the agenda, on agenda review, it's basically continuation of last week. What I added on there, just in case, you know, results of any information inquiries on warranty, trade-in, I did not get maintenance costs yet, so on our current trucks. But the new kind of addition that we didn't talk about yet that we're going to have to talk about is what the approach will be for financing for long service life equipment, so grader, loader, excavator. So maybe if time permits, we can broach that subject. But that's what I teed up for the agenda, really just a continuation of last week. But any edits to what we should talk about, edits or additions to what we should talk about tonight? Okay. And then for, I'm going to stop sharing my screen here and then put up the minutes. Okay. What am I doing here? Can you all see the minutes? Hopefully. Yes? Okay. So what I tried to capture in the minutes is what we talked about on replacement parameters. And we had talked about trying to figure out what the sweet spot is, whether it could be 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, it could be whatever the number shakes out to be. But the gist of our discussion last week was trying to figure out what the sweet spot was by looking at different factors, warranty, trade-in value, and things like that. We also talked about data to collect around whether we could purchase an extended manufacturer's warranty, and looking at best practices that we referenced. And I tried to run down information on electronics, but didn't have any luck. But anyway, that I tried to capture what we talked about. Is there anything I didn't get right or should be rephrased?
It looks good to me.
Okay. Yeah. And then was somebody about to say something?
I was just saying, I think you captured it pretty well.
Okay, good. And then hopefully I got this part right, the last paragraph here about what our target is. November 10th to complete our vehicle replacement and present that to the select board for November 18th. So get them, give the board some time to review it. And if we're ahead of schedule between now and then, that we try and tackle buildings at the same time. So did I get that right? Okay.
So
we've kind of been operating by unanimous consent. So if by unanimous consent, we all agree, we'll just consider these approved minutes. And any any, sounds like we're on agreement on that.
I'll sit here.
Okay. All right. So I'll stop sharing. And why don't we dive in to our follow on? I have a little bit of information to share, but not much. I wasn't that successful in my data collection. Hang on. I'll be right back. You guys can go ahead and get started. I got to get these dogs out of here.
Yeah, I told Scott when I first came on, I was out of town all last week. So I really haven't, and I tried just in the last day to get a hold of Kevin McNamara over in Plainfield to ask him about his trucks and how often he trades them in and that sort of thing. But I just haven't gotten through to him yet. So I'll keep working on that. So unfortunately, I don't have much to share in terms of data gathering.
I have a suggestion that we could do is maybe what we can do, like, so warranty is going to be important, whether we can purchase an extended warranty from the manufacturer. I think it's fair to say that last week when we talked about it, that there's a disinclination to buy a third party warranty, even if we know they're out there. But it sounds like we were kind of laying down a line to say, if we can't get an extended warranty beyond 5 years from the manufacturer, then that's kind of a factor that we're going to take seriously into consideration. Did I hear that right from last week?
Yeah, I think the comment that I made, and it was regarding automobiles, and it may be somewhat different for trucks, but that most of the third party warranties recover stuff that doesn't break down.
Right.
And so it's a sort of a come on, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
I don't know how it is with commercial trucks, but I would tend to agree with you, John, that they're not, the third party warranties are generally not that great for private autos.
And then you got to look at the price of it versus the value that you get. I think they're relatively expensive if you get the Cadillac version of it. And if you get the stripped down version, there's different options that you can get in those, but maybe that's worth, I'll try to check that out between now and the next week if there are any third party warranties, just so we cover our bases.
I guess one thing that might be looking at, and I don't even know if this is possible, but it might change the equation a little bit if there's a third party warranty provider that's actually recommended by the manufacturer. You know, like if the manufacturer actually says, we don't offer one, but we actually recommend this company, that might be worth looking at. But going out on the market and looking for third party warranties, maybe not so much.
I don't know. The guy that delivers a lot of hard pack to the town, to myself and others, is Tim Seldrick. He lives down in West Hartford. He used to have a farm. He's a real nice guy. He drives a 10 wheeler and he might be a good one to talk to. So,
yep. The other thought I had, and this, it's just a thought at this point, but what we could start to do is, as we're talking about this stuff, is to model out, because trade-in value is a big factor too, right? So if we model out different trade-in scenarios, that will start to give us a picture as to what we're looking at. So just for example, I'll just give you, I did some rough back of the envelope calculations this morning. And what I did was I looked at trade-in at 3, 5, and 7. And not that I'm stuck on those numbers, but I just used those to see what they looked like. And it might be worth it, even if they're kind of placeholder numbers until we get data straight from the source. We could put in, for instance, I found a statistic that basically says you can expect depreciation in the 15 to 20% range annually. So that's just sort of an industry yardstick, is that you would expect a vehicle to lose 15 to 20% of its value annually. What I think when I extrapolated what's in our current spreadsheet, I actually got to about 13% rather than 15. But what I don't know, and I don't know if any of you guys know this, is there sort of like an accelerated loss of value in the first couple of years and then it gets smaller, or is it sort of even? Is it even? Like, does it depreciate a relatively even amount over time? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, from an accounting standpoint, you know, they're gonna just make it even. I mean, so like a 20%, we're talking about like 5-year lifespan, right? Until it's fully depreciated, and 15 were like 6 to 7 years, I guess.
Right.
But I'm sure, like when you buy a car, you drive it off the lot, it depreciates as soon as it gets off the lot.
Right.
So I think realistically, yeah, I'm sure it's probably a curve, you know?
Right.
But that would, I think for what we're doing, I mean, I see what you're saying. So like, you know, at the end of 3 years, is it going to be 45% depreciated or 60% or,
right,
you know, whatever. And then it changes as it goes from there.
Right. Yeah. We might be able to refine that as we go with our data collection.
Yeah.
But if we wanted to put together like a starting working model.
I mean, the way, you know, if we could figure out some trade-in values for trucks at those various time frames, you know, that would help us understand the depreciation value, right? If we just see what the trade-in value is at 3 years, 5 years, 7 years.
Yeah, and then you can back into the number. Yep.
Right.
Right. So you should see my screen right now. Are you seeing?
Yeah.
So this is the 10-wheeler that we bought. The sale price was $198,956. And we got $45,000 for trade-in.
And how, and did, was the trade-in at the same type of vehicle? Was it a?
No.
No.
I mean, it was generally the same type of vehicle in that it was a 6-wheeler dump truck, medium duty.
Yeah.
So it's the same in that regard, but it's definitely a different truck for sure.
Yeah. So looking at these numbers, I mean, I don't think that the trade-in value has much of a bearing.
It does not. In this case, the $45,000 trade-in really isn't relevant.
Right.
But what I would model out, just kind of talking through this, is let's say after 3 years, it would be 55. So after 3 years, if you go with sort of even a 13% number, just as a starting baseline, you basically would have 60% residual value at the end of 3 years. So if you take 198, 1956, sorry, 956 times 60, just roughly, it's about 119,000 residual value. So
but that you use 13?
I use 13%.
So if you took the 198, the 198, 596 times 0.87 times 0.87 times 0.87. You said 3 years or 5 years?
3 years. Just kind of.
What number did you come up with?
About 100, you know, between 119 and 120. So
it comes out to 131 because your depreciation is not based upon the 30% of the gross number, but you would take
Oh, each year?
You take it off each year. So if you take, it's 131,013, because you take the 198 times 0.87, that answer times 0.87, the other answer times 0.87.
Okay. All right. Yeah, okay, that's good. Good to do it that way. Let me get caught up with you on your math, John.
But here's the thing. I mean, I think the depreciation, it's more of an accounting mechanism, because, like, let's say it's a 5 or 7 year depreciation cycle. So at 7 years, you're going to be fully depreciated. Well, I don't think that means the truck has no value left in it. It's just,
right,
you know, for business purposes, you can say it's fully depreciated. But in terms of determining trade-in, that could be misleading, because you're not going to reach a point where it has zero value. It's always going to have some value.
Right.
I think it's safe to say that I agree with you, Hunter, that the accountant would do a straight line depreciation over 7 years or whatever whatever they would do. And that's the books part of it. But the depreciation is going to be higher.
From a wear and tear standpoint, right?
It's not going to be a straight, it's going to be depreciated more the first year, then less the second year, less the third year. So you lose it more the first 2 or 3 years. I think that's safe to say. Well, no, I guess when we get the trading values for 3, 5, and 7, then we'll know, we can back into it. Yep.
So I did, when I looked out there today, there are some websites where you can actually, you have to pay for it, but you can get more reliable trade-in values. And I didn't sign up for any of them, but I think one of the things that we're going to have to decide is what source. I mean, certainly we can get information from the dealers, but we might also want to look out there more broadly as to how to figure out or what our methodology is going to be. Like if we can get direct information on that specific truck from the dealer, I'd say that's pretty reliable. But if we can't get that, then maybe the next best thing is to try and come up with a model that, you know, it depreciates 20% in the first year and 15% the second year, and or something that we can all agree on is not a straight line depreciation, but more about what it's trade in, a calculation of trade in value.
Maybe wait till we see what that memo that or the email you sent around that I guess it was Steve Chamberlain sent to Emily. That he was going to look into a 3, 5, and 7 year trade in. So I don't know if he has. I guess,
right. You know, you didn't hear. He didn't send you anything, John, by chance?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear anything on that.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I think again, that determining the trade in values is going to be more relevant than determining depreciation, because, as John said, I mean, it could be that, you know, this thing loses 30% of its value or 40% of its value after 3 years. And then every year after that, it's only losing maybe 5%. So, you know, we may find that there's no advantage at all trading it in after 3 years, because it's not that much different than 5 years. I mean, that's what, who knows? But I mean, I think that that's going to be much more relevant.
We're
trying to figure out.
Yeah, we can kind of model that out. I'm
sorry, Scott. Do you mind if I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
So I was just wondering that vehicle, whatever it was, that got 45,000 in trade-in value. You know, could we look back and see what we paid for that, and what percent, how many years, and what percent that was, and do we have, you know, a few data points like that? We probably don't have a lot of history, and I know the further back in history you go, the less relevant it is, but do we have, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 data points like that that might be interesting? I don't know.
We do actually. So I'll give you, so the truck we're talking about that we just traded in, is truck number two, or is it? Yeah, truck number two, the oldest one. Actually, hang. Bear with me. I just want to double check and make sure I'm not. Make sure I've got the right truck. That's the 10-wheeler. Shoot, I'll have to find it later, but I think that was truck number two, which is the oldest truck. So that we purchased that truck in 2013. It went into service in January 2013.
I had some questions on your sound ordinance. Is there any way that
So basically, to answer your question, John, the truck we're trading in that has 45,000 that we're getting 45,000 for, is actually, I really want to make sure I'm right.
I thought I saw one on your
get the right information here because it.
And I didn't mean to drag us down that.
No, way. No, you're not actually. You're not dragging us down at all. You're actually it's a really important question. I just had to find the right email. Where is it? Clark 45. That's the 10 wheeler. Shoot, where the heck is the 6-wheeler?
The other thing I was just gonna mention while you're digging for that, Scott, is and again, I know nothing about heavy equipment purchases, so this is purely from my consumer experience with buying cars. I've always been amazed when because I've traded in a lot of cars, and it often has a lot to do with what's the car you're buying that you're trading in, and whether that car has a big premium on it or not, whether it's a more expensive or a less expensive, so it. There's a lot of variables there too, I think.
Right. Here it is, truck spreadsheet.
I think what you're saying, John, if I heard you, was that some dealers will take off $2,000 off the price of the new car and add it to the trade-in to make you feel better.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well said, John.
So what I'm not sure about, because we're buying three new trucks now. We're going to have three new trucks here soon. And I'm just going to list these off, and I'm not sure exactly. I'm going to assume without knowing that the 45,000 trade-in is for our oldest truck, because that would stand a reason. Which is it's a 2012 model, went into service January 2013. So we will have had it basically 7 years. And the other two trucks that we already, and what I just quoted is for a truck where another truck that we just bought, the previous two trucks we bought, we got trade-ins of, 57,777 and then 62,777. And certainly I think there's some, it looks like they were giving us pretty favorable trade-in values. Clark was.
Do we know what the purchase price on those vehicles?
We do. I'm making some, I think this makes sense. So if you look at, these are all 7 years except for the 2015. So $145,775 is what we bought the oldest truck. And so
say that number again.
Yeah, 147. 145775.
Okay.
145775. And we're getting, what did I say, 45,000 for it?
After 7 years, right?
After 7 years. So okay. That is 31%. Well, no. No. Oh, sorry. I might missed a zero. Almost 31%. 30.9%. So if I'm doing some rough math here, you guys can do some 30, too.
30, yeah, 30%, 31% roughly.
100,000 divided by 7, which is 10%. So on kind of a straight line basis, if my math is right, it depreciated 10% a year. That truck did.
Yeah, so 70%. I would and we got 30% for the trade in.
Right, exactly. Yep. So on a straight line basis it was 10% a year.
Yep.
So probably a little higher using John's method, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Yep. On the others, they were both, one was another 2013. That one was $188,021. And we are getting, again, I'm making some assumptions here, that that one is the 57,777. So we're getting 57,777 out of that truck. So that's right around 30% as well. Same, it came, I got the same number about.
Yeah. Yep. Just shy of 31%.
Yep. So when I 10%. So that's two trucks in a row where straight line is 10%. So I guess I might as well do the last one just for the heck of it. And that one was 184. Oh, actually, I take that back. I might have had it. I'm going on bid summary 5777 and then 6277. So I think actually for that truck, I had it. The trade in was wrong, 62777. But I think it comes up pretty close to the same.
62777.
Yeah, it comes out pretty close to the same. And then the other truck. We originally purchased at 184,500. So 184,500 and 5777. I'm guessing it's going to come out pretty close to the same.
7 years also.
Yeah. It'll be just shy of seven, actually.
That's like 31% basically. A little over, just a hair over 31%.
Yeah.
And
so all three trucks are kind of, just from a straight line perspective, are coming out at like 10% a year depreciation.
Based on a 7 year life.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Well, it.
I mean, I'm talking straight line. So.
Yeah, but it. Well, you're doing that because you're taking the 7 year figure. So if you traded trucks every 7 years and took the list price times 31%, you would get the trading. But from a reality point of view, if you wanted to know what the 3 and the 5 year was, you couldn't run it on a straight 10% of the year.
I agree. I'm just trying to get it a yardstick. But no, I think you're right, John.
This is sort of telling us consistently that after 7 years, we get about 30% of the original value back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think if the numbers, I guess you could get the numbers for 1 year trade, 2 year trade, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then you'd have those different percentages that would decline over the years, but you would end up having a net result at the end of 3, 5, and 7. And if you divided that by the list price, then you might be looking at 31% on all trucks if we trade them in 7 years, 50% trade in if it's in 5 years, and 25% off if it's in, or 35% off if it's in 3 years. I guess we won't know that till we,
right,
till we get the higher declining value for the first year's depreciation.
Right.
We don't know what that is.
Right.
Yeah.
But at least we've got an idea here.
Yep.
Right. And I think I said this last time, but sort of the good news in this is that in our original calculations back in 2016, we came out pretty close to being accurate in our estimate. So that's nice. Shows our method was somewhat decent even 5 years ago, 4 years ago, whenever it was. So that's good. Things are kind of shaking out. So what we'll need to do then is either get the trade in, try and either get some industry source.
Yep.
And there are some out there, and I'd be willing to, I don't know how much it costs, but maybe we can figure out how to do that.
Well, you know, going off of a comment that John made the last meeting or so ago, you know, like Eric Chase seems to be driving around a lot of trucks that look pretty new. And same with my friend Kevin McNamara over there in Plainfield. Like, he's always got these brand new looking trucks every few years. And so my guess is that they're trading them in on a much shorter cycle.
Yeah.
So they may have some good information.
I did some scouting, and I don't think, you know, this is all very cursory, so I'd take it with a grain of salt. But I kind of did the same thing back in 2016 as I did today. And what I found is that it's kind of all over the map, really. I found, like, Peachum, for example, Peachum actually does replace their trucks every 3 years.
Huh.
So there's an example of a Vermont town that I think Peachum, I can Google it real quick, but I think Peachum is relatively similar in size to Pomfret. Maybe a little bigger.
I mean, here's the only way to think about this too, because when you think about, you know, capital enhancement and things like that. So, you know, from an accounting standpoint, again, like, if you carry depreciation as a line item, so let's say it's 10%, like we're saying, okay, that means you should be investing 10% of the original price. So let's say, you know, it's $200,000. You should be, was it $2,000? No, 1%, $20,000. Is that right? 10%. Yeah. A year to keep the thing new. And right. And if you're not doing that, then you're letting it depreciate to a point where, you know, it's going to wear out. But, you know, obviously, like we're not going to invest $20,000 a year in keeping the trucks looking brand new. So I'm just thinking that another aspect of this is, if we don't have access to good maintenance, around here, if the trucks aren't getting maintained at a high level, then maybe we do want to use a shorter cycle, replacement cycle on them, you know, because I'm just thinking a town like Peacham, I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe they just aren't able to maintain the trucks that well, so they get rid of them after 3 years before they start really falling apart.
I can hang on a second. Why don't I share my screen?
So, I mean, I think that that's another factor, though, is like the amount that we're willing to spend on maintenance and our access to good maintenance. Like, you know, if we don't have that, then we shouldn't be keeping these trucks longer than we need to because they just wear out more.
Well, that was actually the original logic. So going back in time a little bit, when Eric actually was on the board, Eric was part of the decision. We used to have a 10-year replacement cycle, and we dropped it from 10 to 7. And the main reason, as I recall, and I can probably dig up the select board minutes, but we dropped the replacement cycle from 10 to 7 mainly because we don't have adequate maintenance facilities to do anything more than preventative maintenance. And so there was a pretty strong argument to support what you're saying is we don't have, for various reasons, the garage is not really well suited for heavier maintenance, and there's a water separator issue in the garage that keeps us from doing anything really heavy.
Yep.
And is there any such thing as a maintenance contract for heavy equipment with, you know, the way you can buy one for your car?
I don't know.
I'm not aware of anything like that. Like a service contract, annual service contract.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, for my car, I have one on my Subaru, and so I just, you know, don't pay for it. I just bring it in, and I'm sure I paid more in gross, but you know, it's predictable, right? So you don't.
Yeah.
I just shared the Peacham Town Report. You know, it doesn't say a lot, but you'll see it says we are now on a 3-year replacement cycle for town trucks. This plan will pay for itself through the subsequent reduction in maintenance and repair costs, as well as provide the road crew with a more reliable fleet.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, I was thinking about that, Hunter, when John had mentioned about the 3-year thing, when you buy a car, you lease it for 3 years and trade it in, and that's the best opportunity for them to sell that at the highest price to the next guy. But if you figure these trucks are 3 years old, they still have a warranty that either you could buy extended to 5 years, or if we bought the 5-year warranty, it would run with the truck. There might be 15,000 miles on it. There might be less salt on it, certainly. And so, you know, there may be some towns around that say, hey, you know, Pomfret trades their trucks every 3 years. We're going to make a deal with them, and we'll buy their trucks. And then, you know, we get in with the manufacturer and we pick up trucks every 3 years, and then they'll discount the list price, or we'll trade it to the manufacturer or sell it outright. So a 3-year-old vehicle could be pretty much brand new, you know, could be. So I guess we'll have to see what the numbers say, but I think it's worth keeping an open mind. I'm glad you brought that up, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's worth modeling out for sure. To see what it shakes out. And there, just as you're saying, John Moore, there may be some incentive for a buyer that knowing that there's 2 years of the original warranty still on it.
I guess Peacham would be the place to call to see what they think. Maybe it's new, so they don't know what the trading value is yet, but maybe they.
It sounds new, but it might, it certainly, I'm happy to reach out to them and find out more what led to their decision-making, but you can see that their logic is similar to what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's definitely worth modeling out. I guess I don't know if this is right, because I haven't modeled it out yet, but if logically it means that we're putting out less cash too, right up front, right? So if we're buying new trucks every 3 years,
yep,
and we're buying a $198,000 truck plus inflation, that means we're putting out essentially 80 grand, roughly, somewhere in that range, that for each new truck we buy, we are, if you kind of look at our net purchase price, on a 10-wheeler.
Scott, those numbers that you rattled off earlier, the one for the $45,000 trade-in, that was a 6-wheeler. Were the other ones 10-wheelers?
They were all 6-wheelers.
Oh, they're all 6-wheelers. Okay. Yeah,
it's not going to be apples to apples for sure. The 10-wheelers are going to have better trade-in no matter what.
Yeah, so for those, I mean, we traded in on a 10-wheeler, so you can't really compare that trade-in value to that purchase. But if we were purchasing another 6-wheeler, we'd have to pony up about another $100,000 to $120,000 with that trade-in, you know, to get to the original purchase price roughly.
Right.
So you're right. I mean, if we traded it after 3 years, we'd be putting up less money for sure. But over time, but we have to put this in a spreadsheet, because you have to see like how much we actually spent then over, you know, if we traded in 3 years, what's that look like over a 7-year period to compared to the 7-year trade.
Right. Yep. Well, I think that would be our next step. So next week, what we should be ready to have is to model out this stuff and kind of talk through what the numbers say.
Yep.
But I think we should model out all of those scenarios just to see how they look.
Yeah.
Do we know, because I would think in the marketplace, the value is also driven quite a bit, the resale value driven by miles and hours of service on the vehicle, right? So do we know if we are like heavy users or light users, you know, compared to the marketplace of used stuff?
John Moore knows equipment better than I do for sure. But my take on it is that we are kind of lower on the hours and lower on the miles, but harder because it's predominantly winter plowing. So plowing is hard on these trucks. During the warmer months, they're fairly lightly used, but they take a beating in the wintertime. But John Moore, you probably have a better.
There's not going to be a lot of miles. That's the bad news, because we don't get, some of these trucks like Seldrick, he probably puts 100,000 miles a year on his trucks. So, you know, we just don't do that. But the part that's going to wear our trucks out is the salt, because they're spreading salt on the roads from the dump truck. The dump bodies are not stainless steel. They're steel, and they rust out. And the other problem was that the front ends are a lightweight front end, and the town crew ran chains on the front wheels. And that's a no-no, because it chews up the front ends. So that caused some problems, and that won't be a problem with the 10-wheeler, because they're all two-wheel, they don't have four-wheel drive. So, you know, it's just the winter stuff with salt, and the winter's tough with actually the salt is the main thing. And I think running chains on the front end was probably a mistake, but that's water over the dam now.
Neil, you, I would imagine, have some perspective on that too, right? Neil?
Neil, are you there?
His mic might not be working.
He may not have his audio on.
Let's look at participants. Neil's not muted, but he is. Neil.
He may not have a microphone.
He should. He just muted himself. Okay. Well, at any rate, I think we know where we're going. We can model that stuff out. I think we're in a position where we can start doing that. And then when we get some of these data points back, we can just, that can round it out, you know?
Yeah. Sounds good.
So I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I think maybe by next Tuesday, we should be in a position to say one way or the other.
Yeah, providing we can gather up some more data between now and then.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, how does everybody feel about that?
I feel like we're definitely zeroing in on it.
Yeah.
We're getting closer.
Yeah. Do you feel good about that, John and John?
Yeah, no, I think we're doing good. And I think the one part that's sort of missing, which maybe is the, you know, the maintenance costs over the last several years, you know, as you mentioned, the sweet spot is going to be when the maintenance costs start to get over our head. And so
we trade in value, you know?
Yeah. I think the unfortunate part is that our maintenance costs, unless we can filter it out, they're going to be a little distorted. We'd have to, because we have, John, you mentioned the front end issues, and that's going to distort our maintenance costs. But if we can, I mean, I could probably go over the invoices and look at, you know, oil changes and some of the more routine type maintenance. But if I recall correctly, it was somewhere in the range of 12 to 20,000 a year. I'll have to go back and double check my.
But I think
was from that for all trucks.
What's that?
Is that for all trucks?
Yeah, for the dump trucks.
20,000 maintenance for the whole fleet.
20,000 was. I think actually we might have had a year. I think we had a year on one of the trucks.
I think probably from a practical point of view, let's say we run 3-year scenario, we run a 5, we run a 7. We give it to the select board. They go, oh, okay, we kind of like this year. Let's pick that. Then probably what will happen is that they will look at the maintenance, actual maintenance on those trucks 5 years from now. Let's assume they pick the 5-year mark, and the history of that truck will be much more pertinent than looking at what it might be. I mean, it could be a lemon truck. They want to get rid of it. So, but we won't know that
right
from our position right now here.
And the other thing too is we really don't have any good maintenance history other than more routine stuff on the trucks that we're getting now, because they are 2-wheel drive. You know, we're not, the front end stuff and some of the other issues are not going to be.
They're not going to be there. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
So, all right. Well, it sounds like, so why don't we try and do this? Let's just so we have some clarity, why don't we try and list out, and I'll take notes, what questions we want to try and answer between now and next Tuesday, and with the goal next Tuesday to have to model out some numbers. So we talked about extended warranties. That's still an open question. I guess we could ask about, we might be able to ask about expected maintenance from the dealer. You know, maybe they have that information. And if they don't, I don't know that it's a big deal. We need to get better info on what the true depreciation is, you know, first and second year. You know, is it a curve or is it a straight line? We need to, what else? John Ricketson, you had said service contract. Maybe that's something to look into. I'll call Peachum. And I think there are some other, somebody should reach out to Eric.
I'll reach out to Eric and I'll reach out to Seldrick.
John, Eric, and Seldrick.
Okay. And I'll reach out to Kevin McNamara. I get a hold of him.
Okay.
And then we're going to check on that third party stuff that we think is junk, but we'll find out for sure.
Right. Right. What else?
I mean, so like when I reach out to Kevin, I'm going to ask, you know, how often he trades in his trucks, you know, does he have a reason for that? Does he see greater value in it? I'm going to ask him about, maintenance, annual maintenance costs, if he has any idea on that. I'll try and, if he gets warranties, extended warranties, I'll just try and ask him all these questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So could I ask, I'm just looking at the spreadsheet that you all shared, right? Is that sort of the end game, is to come up with this, that spreadsheet that's the CapEx plan? So looking at, you know, the 10 or 12 pieces of equipment that are listed there, so some of these are 3, 5, 7 year trucks, right? Whatever we come up with, and that's what we've been talking about. But what about these other ones that are like long life? I guess I'm just unclear. All those questions you just posed, Scott, wouldn't they also apply to some of the longer life pieces of equipment? Again, I'm just trying to learn, you know.
They do, but that's a really excellent segue, I think.
Yeah.
I think you just have the perfect timing on segueing into the long life stuff. Are we ready? Why don't we dive into the long life equipment and talk about that?
Sometimes I state the obvious, I guess.
No, it's perfect. Perfect timing. I think the short answer, at least how I see it, is yes, I think we should be looking at a lot of those same things. But I guess to start, John Moore, Hunter, maybe dig into your memory banks, but I think what my recollection, I do have in my history bank of when we did this in 2016, what we used for data source. But when we looked at the long life equipment, we did look at some of the same factors, but we primarily looked at hours on the machine, because there are on these long service life pieces of equipment, what generally matters the most is how many hours you've got on the machine. So for instance, again, I'm just going on recollection. At the time, we were putting about 150 to 175 hours a year on the grader. And what we did in our discussions the first time around is said, well, a piece of equipment like that should last X number of hours until it needs to be replaced. And so there are some charts out there. There are good references to use to say, oh, a grader, and I can try and pull it up while we're talking, but a grader should last you X number of hours. And so if you look at how many hours are on the machine today, look at your average use, it should tell you how long that piece of equipment will last. And that from a maintenance standpoint, you're essentially maintaining it until it reaches the end of its service life. But that's only one approach, right? That's the approach we took back in 2016. Another approach could be equally, as we're talking about with dump trucks, could equally apply where we say, forget about hours. We actually just want to replace the grader every 5 years. Same logic. It's going to have greater resale value. And I'm saying 5 years hypothetically. I'm not saying that should be it. But I have heard anecdotally from John Peters that Woodstock basically leases their graders on a 5-year lease basis. And then at the end of the lease, they get a new one. So they're essentially getting a quote new grader every 5 years, but their approach is more of a lease approach. So our current capital plan, what you're looking at, John, is based on a logic that says this piece of equipment should last a certain number of hours, and therefore that's how we plotted it out.
Well, I to get back to your question on the lease, I think we should probably look at that. I'm not averse to looking at that. And one of the reasons a lease might work better on a grader than a dump truck is because a dump truck comes with all this crap on it, like the snowplow and cables in the back to run the sanders and all that stuff. It's all custom, whereas a grader pretty much comes off the shelf, and maybe the only thing they add to it is a wing to plow the snow back in the winter. But so that might be one thing to look at, would be leasing them. But the hours, I talked to Jimmy the other day, and he said he put 500 hours on the grader this year. So part of the reason there was only 100 hours on it for a couple years back is the roads weren't probably graded as much as they should have been, and Jimmy's finally got them back in shape. But I would say 3 or 4,000 hours on a grader is not crazy at all. I've got 4,000 hours on one of my tractors. Emily's got 10,000 hours on one of her tractors, and the grader doesn't get a lot of salt. And if it does get salt, it doesn't bother it the same way it does the dump truck, because all that steel is pretty heavy steel. But I did research the part issue from the last meeting, and John Deere will give parts for a more ancient vehicle. But the concern that Jimmy had on the grader is there's a wing on that grader, and that's the one that's obsolete and they can't get parts for it anymore. So it's the third party wing on the grader that may be an issue. But and I did check his excavator. He said he had a couple thousand hours on the excavator, which is not a lot of hours. So I agree with Scott. And our last logic is that hours is probably difficult to project the number of years if it's running some years 100 hours and the next year 500 hours. So I don't know what the norm is on whether Jimmy will grade it less next year because the roads are in better shape now. I don't know the answer. And I don't know how many hours are on the grader. We had a chart, didn't we, Scott, as to somewhere?
We did. We should get that from Jim. But I think what you said, John, is a really great point, right? So he's getting the roads back in shape. The hours shot up. But maybe on an ongoing basis, it might drop down to 300, you know, but even if that's the way it plays out, that's still going to shorten the lifespan, right? Because we were, as I recall, and I'd have to go back and bring up our chart, but as I recall, we were operating on a projection of somewhere in 100 to 175 hours per year. Maybe I'd have to double check if that was what we said. But if it turns out that the true hours are higher, then that's certainly going to shorten the lifespan.
And there's also the, as far as the, I think if you ask Jimmy, he would say the most important vehicle in there between the loader, excavator, and the grader is the payloader, because that has to load the sand in the winter on the dump trucks.
Right.
So, so I guess I would add, looking at leases, I guess that's, why shouldn't we look at that? I guess.
Right.
You know,
yeah, and why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think right now is a good opportunity to take a fresh look at the long service life equipment as to what makes the most sense. My only, and I don't want to open a can of worms here, but my only hang up is I think we should be, just as we're trying to be open-minded about different approaches, we should also be open-minded about financing too, but we don't have to talk about that tonight. We can.
One thing we might consider doing is, especially for John, for your benefit, is we might meet with Jimmy Potter at the town garage sometime, one of our Tuesday meetings, if possible. We can self-distance, because we should really look at the grader and look at the payloader and talk to Jimmy a little bit on this stuff. I think whether he does it on Zoom or whether we meet there, I guess, is the option, but we need to find out about that wing. What is the story with the wing? The one part that he mentioned, he did mention to me that if you keep the grader much longer or it, you know, the 15, 20 years, he did mention something will have to be replaced. And I don't remember what that was.
We knew that though. I remember we knew that way back when too, though. So that's somewhere I remember in our notes. We knew something was going to need to be replaced. Yeah. Let me, I just shared my screen just to show you our original thinking, because this is where it came from. When we did the 2016 plan, this was the best source of information I had, was from Fish and Wildlife, Federal Fish and Wildlife, on some good metrics on, you see years and then hours. And so you could go based upon a 10-year replacement cycle or 3,000 hours. And I think, and again, I'd have to double check our capital plan, our original one, but I think we went with somewhere in that 3,000 hour range. And then we also looked at what the expected usage would be, again, as a yardstick. And for Fish and Wildlife, it was a minimum 150 to their standard utilization was 300. So we were, I think, somewhere in that 150 minimum back when, and maybe we will be around 300 now with the way Jimmy is running things. So if we took that same approach as we did last time and we're running 300 hours a year, we'd need to recalculate what the expected life is of that piece of equipment. Does that make sense, John?
Yep.
And John Rickettson, does that, from an approach standpoint?
I think so, yeah, yeah. So in the plan on just the grader right now, says 25 years, is that, if I got that right?
Yep, that's right.
Yep.
And that was, I'm gonna bring up the 2016 plan, because I'm pretty sure we talked about it.
Uh, John, you got a good point there on those years, because those, the tractor with the Moore deck, I mean, that's out there for 2036. So that's brand new 2 years ago. But those other three ticket items are, if those years, that if we're going to stick to 25, 27, and 28, we need to be thinking about, you know, what we're going to finance or what we're going to sock away or how we're going to pay for it. Because, or contrary to that, when we talk to Jimmy and we go, oh, these things aren't, not many hours on them, and we can drag this out a lot longer. Or the other side of the coin is we're going to have to move it up a little bit because there's some problems. So it's kind of important that we find out fairly accurately on those, because that's, they're only 5 years away, 7 years away, and 8 years away. That's not very far.
Right. I just shared my screen again, and this is in the capital plan that kind of goes hand in glove with the spreadsheet. But this was our model. This is basically reflects what's in that spreadsheet. So I'll just go down to the grader, but you can see the trucks were seven, and here's the grader. So basically, I stated it incorrectly. So 25 years, we thought the life expectancy would be 9,000 hours. It had 4,761 on it at the time. At three, and then we expected 340 hours a year. So based upon that number, when you basically when you subtract 9,000 from 4761, you get 4,239 divided by 340 is 12 years, and it was already 12 years old, roughly.
When was that number, the 4761, what year was that we had that listed up?
2016.
So
we've got basically 3 or 4 years of hours. So it's a good time to refresh this data.
Yeah.
And see where we're at. But
I would say there's at least another 1,000 hours on top of that one, I would guess, if Jimmy put 500 on this year.
Right. Yeah. But you get the logic how we came up with 25 is by taking the expected 9,000 hours minus the current hours, and then extrapolating from the expected hours per year to get the remaining service life. And so the question, one of the questions we'll want to ask is, do we stick with that approach? Or do we, and I think just as we're talking with dump trucks, I think we should put all the cards on the table.
Yep.
This one, this method, a leasing method, or I don't know what other method might be out there, but, you know, coming at it with a fresh pair of eyes. And yeah, we'll want to look at the loader too, whether, how many hours they've racked up on it. They probably put a lot of hours on it in the last 4 years. Anyway, I think, does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why the loader is 15 years and the
excavator.
Yeah, well,
it's the lower expected usage.
Yeah, because an excavator has those tracks, and those tracks have a lot of metal against metal, and the loader doesn't have a lot of moving parts, really, and the bucket and all that is pretty heavy duty. So I wonder whether we were right knocking that down to 15 years. I'm not quite sure why we
might have been wrong. We should take a fresh look at that.
Yeah, I don't.
There might have been things we weren't thinking of 4 years ago. Because I don't remember I don't remember talking about the tracks and stuff like that, but I think we took a pretty simplistic approach to it. So,
yeah.
Well, so I think we can, I think one of the things we'll want to do, maybe I can, I'll talk to Woodstock and see what they're doing for their lease situation. Going back to, what I'm now suddenly scratching my head about is, I'll have to figure out how we came up with 9,000 hours for the grader. I know I have it somewhere in my data bank, but
seems a little high to me.
It seems high right at this very moment.
Yep.
But I know that we based it on something. I know we didn't grab that number out of thin air.
Well, one of the things you can go on some of these trading the heavy equipment that's for sale, and you can kind of see out there what's out there and how many hours are on it and what it looks like. So
right.
I guess that might give us an idea maybe on when it's time to trade based upon some of the junk that's out there in the marketplace and what they're getting for it. But I think we should – I think the one thing that – seems to be, I think we're pretty well nailed down on the trucks one way or another, whether it's 3, 5, or 7. I think we've come up with how we want to proceed. I think there's, we're in the middle of October. We got to crank this thing out in another 4 weeks. We need to find out what our thinking is on this heavy equipment fairly soon, I think, yep. Scott.
Yeah, you're right.
Because that's the big ticket items money wise. And so do we meet with Jim next time or what do you think?
Yeah. Let's see if we can get Jimmy to come and sit with us for a bit.
I'll go down and see Jimmy, and I'll tell him that we need the number of hours on the equipment and what he thinks needs to be done from a maintenance point of view going forward. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that he would join the call next Tuesday.
Yep. We'll put him at the top of the agenda just so he doesn't have to.
Well, and also the maintenance, what major issues, the hours, and what he's projecting in hours going forward. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I think we're in pretty good shape. So maybe fingers crossed by next Tuesday, we will have most of this knocked out. And then if we're in good shape after that, we can try and spend one more meeting on getting it presentation ready. And then after that, we can shift over to buildings. Does that sound worthy objective?
Yeah, and I think we need to spend some time. I know you sent out that chart on present value, which I think was very important. Present value, future value, and you lose 2.5% a year on your purchasing power going forward. Of course, who knows what's going to be in the 1980s, interest rates are 18%. if you remember back then.
Yeah.
And now they're nothing. And we did have the financing costs from Caterpillar and John Deere were running around. I can probably get that updated, but it was the Vermont maybe John, we last year we looked at different ways of possibly financing some of the equipment. And there was a Vermont Muni equipment loan fund that you can purchase up to 75% of the purchase price, not to exceed $110,000 on a 5-year note. And the state of Vermont has that at 2% rate.
Right.
They're only allowed $1.5 million per year. So it's sort of on a, the loan may be available or not. You have to submit an application for approval. They submit them 2 times a year in June and in December. Mm-hmm. And then you pay off annual payments are due 1 year after the approval date. And then the Caterpillar lease and the John Deere lease typically run 5 to 7 years. They have a dollar buyout at the end of the lease. It's 3.85% on the dollar amount that you lease is the percentage rate. So basically it's really, they call it a lease, but it's really a purchase. So you purchase the vehicle and you pay for it over 7 years, and the finance charge is 3.85. And then the John Deere one, and I don't know if those rates are still valid or not. The John Deere one maximum is a 5-year lease. $0 to $250,000 is 3.7%. So they both run about that. So those are the options that are available. Now that's a, I'll be curious as to what Scott finds out from Woodstock, because they call that a Caterpillar or a John Deere lease, but it's really a dollar buyout at the end. So it's essentially, you're just paying for the vehicle or the equipment and paying the finance charge. I think Woodstock has a, I don't know what the heck that, I'm confused what John says, because they didn't mention anything like a straight lease that they have, but maybe they do.
I'm looking at their town report and they do. Yeah, there's a, they, I don't know. This might be a little bit of an old report, but they have a budget line item for a greater lease, and it's basically $25,000 a year.
Okay, well, that would make sense. So they're paying 25 times five.
They actually, now that I'm looking at their budget, they actually leased their excavator and their loader. So they,
what's they 25 lease, after 5 years, right?
Yeah, they lease all three of their, oh man, they lease their dump trucks too.
Huh.
I would think, well, let's just take a look at that, if the grader puts 500 hours, let's just say it's 400 hours, because I think if it ranges between 100 to 500, maybe let's say 300 hours. So in 5 years, you'd have 1,500 hours, and it would cost you, what, 25 times five, $125,000. If we keep the grader for 15 years, it would cost us, and we buy a new one, so you're looking at 250, 125 times three would be 15, six, seven, 375. So in 15 years, you'd be paying $375,000. I guess the question to ask Woodstock, Scott, might be how many hours a year do they put on their grader? They might do a lot more hours than we do. I don't know.
They might. Yep. This is the newer report. But you can see the listing here, they've got the grader lease, backhoe lease, loader lease, dump truck lease. But it they've got a pretty, you can, we, I'll,
well,
I'll,
they call that a lease purchase.
Right.
I bet that's the same thing as, That's a good question.
Yeah. I'll find out about it, but I would assume from what we're seeing here, their main goal, like if you kind of step back from all of this, is you can take a couple of different basic philosophies. One is rotating equipment quickly so that it's always fresher and whatever strategy gets you there. Or the other approach, like what a lot of towns do, is you buy a piece of equipment, it's like what a lot of us do, and you just hang on to it till you run it into the ground, basically, and then buy a new one.
Yeah, well, it appears to me they're just spreading out the costs rather than just taking a big hit.
Right.
They just spread it out over 5 years or whatever the term is.
Right.
So
exactly.
It may be more predictable that way, right? They're just spreading. If you're just constantly leasing, you're constantly spreading it out, and you're basically maintaining the same cost. So you don't get. This was the thing that we got stuck on last year, was, you know, getting hit with that $375,000 hit when you need a new grader.
Right. You're right. It does have the effect of spreading it out a lot more evenly.
And I think if I understand it, a lease purchase, I think what that means is that at the end of the lease, you have the option to purchase it. And that's predetermined at the beginning of the lease, what that will be. But you can also just turn it in.
Yeah. And so if you have a piece of equipment that's got low hours on it and things still in great shape, maybe it's worth just hanging on to it. And then you own it and getting the most value out of it that you can.
But I think John's right on a car. That's how it works. But on this, on these leases, that these 7 year leases that Caterpillar has, it's a dollar at the end. So obviously you'd pay the dollar, then you wouldn't turn it in.
Okay.
Yeah. On a car, you would be like, if you leased a car, typically you'd be buying it for like what, 15, 16,000, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess the question on Woodstock, Caterpillar calls this a lease, but he told me that they call it the lease for some stupid reason, but it's really a purchase. It's like you're buying it on time over 7 years.
Yeah, you're just financing it.
You're financing it, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And the question with Woodstock, though, I'm guessing it's the same thing, because when I remember talking with Caterpillar and John Deere, they didn't have a straight lease like what John is talking about for a car.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think Woodstock maybe, I don't know, that's a good question on Woodstocks, whether that's, I can't imagine that if it's 5 years, 7 years old and they can buy it for, well, maybe they buy it for a dollar and then they trade it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they've leased it for 7 years. It's 7 years old. So they just trade it and get a new one. That might be what they do.
I'm trying to see if I can sleuth it out.
Yeah, that makes sense, John. It could be just an accounting or a tax thing or something that
yep.
they do it that way.
Mr. Dalton to approve the purchase of John Deere grader for $196,000.
Wow, that's cheap. What are they buying? John Deere 772 GP.
You're going to Google that up?
Yeah. I mean, that's significantly cheaper than what we're pricing out. I mean, that's more than 100,000 less than what we've currently got priced out. That doesn't look like
but what they might have done though, Scott, is they traded the old one in. That's why the net was 196,000.
Did it say net?
Yep.
Oh, grand. Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. I see. Right. So that can't be the sale price. Yeah.
Oh.
I see what you mean.
The question is, do they trade them every 7 years when the
Well, did that link that you just that John Deere set that you were just at, did that have a price on it anywhere? You have to build it.
Yeah, hang on, I can probably find it. I mean, we those are older.
Under 95.
That can't be new. Is that new? 2016 for sale. That's Canadian dollars. So it's definitely not.
There's a trade in there somewhere.
Yeah, there's definitely a trade in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not a cheap piece of equipment there. All right. Well, I'll do some sleuthing, but
okay. So I'm gonna call. I guess the third party warranty, Tim Seldrick, Eric Chase, Jimmy Potter, and Eric might have some comment too. On he purchases a lot of heavy equipment as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, what's this say?
Yeah, so does Kevin McNamara. He's got a grader, and
should we talk to Alan Rowell again?
A bunch of loaders and stuff like that.
I think Alan's tied up pretty much with Norwich, and he's older, and I don't think he's a source for. He was only here for a couple of days, but I don't know.
Yeah. There's something about the grader in this town report. Oh, sixth grader. All right, cool. Well, I think we're in good shape.
Yeah.
Well, the grader we purchased, the last grader was purchased for
something like that.
Which was that purchased for?
I think it was 200 and something. No, 127? Oh, no, that's, yeah, 250.
No, no. Not 196, I'm sure.
And 250 list, we had 120. So here's the, I'll share it from the spreadsheet. It was 250 sale price, 129 trade in, net price 121.
Yeah, so on our spreadsheet we had projected that a grader was going to cost us
300 and change, I believe.
Yeah, which probably is about right.
362,500.
Yep.
Which blows up the reserve balance, right? Pretty. I mean, is that something this committee worries about, or is that more that the selectmen worry about that?
We worry about it in the sense that we have to present a plan that doesn't blow it up.
Okay.
But that's another subject. We can dig into that one later. But I think we're on a good path here. All right. Well, we're at time. So I think this was good. I think this was a productive meeting. Anything else before we wrap it up?
I guess I'm looking forward to hearing from you, Neil, if you can hear us next time. you've been very quiet. I hope you've been taking good notes. But so it's we see your face. We see your name on your block. I assume you're they're listening, I guess, I hope. So next time.
Well, with that, I guess if we agree to adjourn, why don't we do that? And it's 8:31, so we'll call it adjourned at 8:31.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Good meeting.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.